B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Matt.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, let's sing it as Buffalo Bill, huh?
Love it.
Do it.
I think I'll go for a stalk outside now. The bigger gals are calling my name.
Woo!
I'll skin you now. I just can't stay inside all day.
I don't really know the character.
I gotta get out, get me some of those rays.
Yeah!
Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day.
Yee-hoo!
Everybody's laughing.
Yee-haw!
Sunshine day.
Uh-huh.
Everybody seems
woo-hoo
so happy today. It's a sunshine day. Say, Paul, you about a size 14? Good.
PaulPerillo.com in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Final Ticket Weasel Clue coming up this segment. Hi, Pablo. How you doing?
What's going on? My mic is moving all over the place today.
There you go.
I like it.
Fix it. Right. Meaning fix it in one location. Yeah. You're fine. You're fine. How do you feel about your football team?
A little better, but, you know, it was the Bengals. But, you know, I like the way, you know, my number one takeaway is probably Harry. You know, N'Keal Harry just being more involved in the game, you know, didn't light the world on fire. A couple of catches, a couple of runs. But just the fact that he was out there as much as he was, yeah, I took that as a positive.
I meant to say that Paul is brought to you by Franklin Pierce University. As a Raven, you can fly higher and achieve your academic goals while opening doors to internships and job placement opportunities. Visit franklinpierce.edu. One university, boundless opportunities. The consensus commentary it felt coming out of that game is that Brady was the problem. Do you agree?
The problem? I can never bring myself to say something like that. No, I don't think he played very well. I think there's probably as inaccurate in the game as I've seen him. But, you know, you watch the game start and Carlos Dunlap is all over him. And, you know, you still have the same problems with, you know, trying to find consistent weapons outside of Edelman. And then basically you took Edelman out of this one for him. So, yeah, he was part of the problem. And I've been saying that for a few weeks, but I'm not going to say he's the problem.
What about the elbow?
Yeah, the elbow doesn't look good to me. And I know a lot of people that are there, you know, talked about the pregame and how much, you know, fiddling around and, you know, flexing it and just appeared to be giving him some discomfort. So that's always something to me to keep an eye on. I heard you guys talking about, you know, Bill mentioning that. Yeah, I mean, it's a concern to me because if it's more than just mental and it's physical as well, then now you have a problem because it's hard to overcome both of those.
Do you have a take on Bill letting us know the practice time that he missed yesterday?
Yeah, not particularly. No, I don't know why that might be, but, you know, he always has his reasons. I heard some of the things that you guys threw out there, you know, maybe motivation, maybe just trying to say, you know, this guy can't do it anymore. I heard you talking about, you know, the tweak of Guerrero. I just miss nothing. I don't know though. As Bill would answer us, you'd have to ask Bill specifically why he chose to do that.
Do you think he likes Stidham?
Yeah.
Do you think he likes Stidham?
I think he and Josh both like Stidham and think that he's worth
Josh there, Stu.
He's worth some further development. Let's put it that way. I don't know if they're convinced that he's the next guy, but I do think they like what they see.
And can you just give me more based on what? Like, what have they said, or you know, what have you gleaned that leads you to believe that
this guy? I mean, you can't just
you're in the hot seat now.
You just can't have like conversations with people that might not necessarily be, you know.
What have you done
for public consumption?
No, I like the word gleaned. What have you gleaned?
Yeah, what have you gleaned?
What have you ascertained? I just get the impression that they like. I think they like his aptitude. I think they felt like he was pretty good. When he did something wrong in the spring in training camp, he very rarely repeated that. And I think that's something they're very big on, error repeaters, they call him. And mm-hmm. They felt like he was very good at asking the right questions and avoiding the same mistakes repeatedly. We won't know if he can play. I mean, do not go by what you see in the summer. It means nothing.
I mean, a little something?
Means nothing.
Come on. Little bit.
It means next to nothing.
Paul,
I'm telling you, there's nothing resembling real game in on those preseason games as he's going to get. Look what happened when he played in the real game.
Yeah,
the one time.
Such a small
pick
little
six to Jamal Adams.
It was early, too. It was
one
sack.
Ball.
It was early.
What about the sack? Early what?
early in the year. I don't know. He's had a lot more practice time since then. Brady's missing days every week, apparently. Like, you know.
Yeah, he's not. He's finishing out the season.
I just think it's.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, that's a whole different animal there. I think it's unfair to judge Stidham on the 5 minutes he played in week four.
Oh, I'm not judging him on that. Like you asked me the question. I think that they like him. I think they think there's something worth developing there.
Do you think. So if I were to say to you on the. I want to go back to Brady's elbow because I think it's a huge factor. Legitimate injury or just nagging?
Probably nagging, but you know, we'll never know. Mike will go back and tell you what was it? What was the year that they didn't make the play? Oh, 2 it must have been.
Oh, his shoulder.
You find out after the season, like if they played in the playoffs, he wasn't going to be able to play. Now, right. I still have my doubts about that.
Right.
But that's what they were telling us after the fact. Did any of us have any idea it was that bad?
No, sir.
We would have probably categorized that as nagging heading into that game. And evidently, it was separated and needed surgery.
Tell you what, I went back and looked at some of those misfires from the game over the weekend. And there were even more that we didn't remember. There was another one to Sanu on the sideline that he whipped 10 feet over his head. I mean, and you know, now there were others that were, there was one to White early in the game that was just a flat out drop. I mean, bad drop. And, you know, but the sort of miscommunication with Edelman or the lack of chemistry with Edelman and the airmail throws, the one to Michelle, there were a lot. I mean, there were a good 7 or 8 of them.
But there were also a couple of throws. Like, I thought the 4th and 4 throw to Sanu.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I actually think he threw it a little too hard.
Oh, you over? Yeah, it
you know,
was too much mustard.
The touchdown to Harry. I mean, there's like sliding to the left a little bit, stepping in, and he fired that. So I'm not saying the elbow was not a problem, but I don't think it's preventing him always from doing what he wants to do.
Well, Karen Garishian in the Herald today dropped something into the middle of her column about this could be the end for Brady, and you know, it's really about maybe the swan song for him in New England. But she drops it in towards the end that the Herald learned Tuesday that Brady's elbow is better, and there should be no longer any issues. We'll see. You know, she's got a line into obviously Brady Sr. I'm not saying where she got it. You know, who knows? But she does have some insight into the Brady camp. And as she checks in, she learned Tuesday that Brady's elbow is better and there should be no longer any issues. So that's
sort of interesting.
Sort of out of nowhere on that. Was he a full participant? Did they practice yesterday?
It was a walkthrough yesterday.
Yeah, they were in the field house.
How about today?
But yes, today they practiced. I don't think, is the report out yet, Jim?
No.
I hadn't seen it when I came in to talk to you guys. My guess is he'll be full. If he's on it at all, he'll be a full participant.
Okay. How do you feel about this week? Real game?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a real bad game.
Test.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a real test. I watched a lot of that Buffalo-Pittsburgh game Sunday night, and those are two teams that would have to really collapse. Right? Well, Buffalo's in now. Pittsburgh would have to really collapse to not make the playoffs. So those are two playoff teams. That was bad football.
Yeah, I agree. And the
that was
turnovers.
Really bad football. And you know, a lot of people are like, well, you just don't like good defense.
No,
yeah,
I'd be the first
to tell you, like, you know, no, there was some great defense being played. I mean, they're handing the ball off at the 10-yard line. They're dropping it at the mesh point.
Right.
Buffalo recovers. You know, Josh Allen, same kind of thing that we talked about back in week 4 or whatever week was. You know, you got Cole Beasley off in the flat to the left there. You know, easy pitch and catch, 12 yards. Even Collinsworth, who really never criticizes anything, unless it's Pro Football Focus tells him to, he just airmails it right over Cole Beasley's head. And it's just one of those throws. If you're an NFL quarterback, Tony, you have to make that throw. And he still can't do that consistently.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Allen.
I'm not telling you Allen's good. I think Allen
No, I know
blows.
You're not. I know you're not. Okay, but I'm just saying like that. I just thought it was bad
so
football.
All that being said, it's a real game this week.
Oh, yeah, because the Patriots right now, their offense is kind of bad football. I mean, they have. When was the last time that they looked really good for a whole game offensively?
Pittsburgh.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah, maybe the Redskins week 5.
No.
Not all game.
No, Pittsburgh.
It's like 9-7 at the half or something silly like that.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Week 1.
Week 1.
I'm not being facetious.
No,
that was the only game where I went, well, that looked pretty good.
From start to finish, too.
Yeah,
they played
right.
really well that night. Because I had some thoughts, you know, and as usual, I always take my lead from Fred. You know that, right?
Of course, yeah.
Fred was on the offense actually starting last year, but really he was really concerned all through training camp. We were doing all our shows, watching the practices, and Fred just kept harping on it. You know, I don't know if there's enough here. I don't know. And he was like, this was before like Gordon was even back. So he was really concerned about the offense. And then we watched that opening night. We were like, maybe we were being too hard on him. You know, this looks great. This just looks like vintage Brady, vintage Patriots offense, you know, spreading it around, scheming guys open. Do you remember Dorsett that night just getting wide open twice behind the defense? You know, Josh figuring out ways. And then we really haven't seen that consistently since.
Okay. So, I know I'd take the points this week. I did. When they played him up there, the game was six. And you remember the Patriots scored by blocking a punt.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? It was the Matthew Slater first touchdown.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, like, you know, that's 16-10, right? And you get the touchdown there. Like, I look at that and say, now, look, it's later in the year. But I think the Bills' offense is playing a little bit better than it was when the Patriots played him the first time. I just, given the rock fight it's going to be, I'll take the 6.5.
It was turnovers, right? The first game, it was three picks by Josh Allen, and that doesn't even count the block punt. I think Barkley threw another pick later when he came in, and I don't have the exact numbers, but I want to say it was something like 11 turnovers in the first five games, and since then they've only turned it over five times, or four times, or something. You know, they've been really good, and a couple of them were in that Pittsburgh game the other night.
Yeah.
Because he had some problems. I think he threw a pick, and in Singletary fumbled.
Yeah.
So they've done a much better job. If you're going to tell me right now Buffalo doesn't turn the ball over, that game's going down to the last play of the game. I'm convinced of that.
No turnovers.
If there's no turnovers for Buffalo, the game's going down to the wire.
Okay. Let's take your thoughts on that, your thoughts on Brady. Let's give the people the last ticket weasel clue here. Murray, what do we got?
Again, that's not the name of the game, Mike. Can I have the name of the game, please, before I play?
Christmas ticket weasel.
No, that's not it either.
Buffalo Bills, favorite Buffalo Bills.
Thanks, Mike. Here we go. All right, here's the last clue.
So great. He's a great big sack person. We love Bruce Smith, don't we, President?
Sitting there watching that. Buffalo Bill, obviously a big fan of those 90s Buffalo Bills, and specifically the dominant play of a
great big sack person,
Bruce Smith. Okay, so there you go. There's the last clue.
Okay, I'm not going to give you the first two. You have to have been paying attention. That's the whole name of the game. You got to pay attention the whole way through. It's why we do these wacky things that we do. Name the three favorite Buffalo Bills from Buffalo Bill. Jamie Gum, was that his name?
Yeah, that was the name, yeah.
Okay. You'll do that at 4:30, and you win freebies to see the Patriots and the Bills in potentially Brady's second-to-last game as a New England Patriot at Gillette Stadium.
Potentially.
Okay, so that's coming up next with your calls. Don't go anywhere.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG, it's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Man.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Thomas, you got your elbow wrapped there. What's going on there?
I just got hit right on my elbow. It's fine. Probably be on the injury report, but I'll be there next Sunday.
Again, Brady and his elbow. How big of a deal is that? We discuss with you, and we're giving away Patriots tickets this segment. So pay attention. Paul Perillo from Patriots.com is in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Let's go with you some calls first, though. Here's Tim in Holland. Hi, Tim.
All right. I'm going to make this quick. I'm hiding from my boss. two quick points. One, if Tua were to fall in the draft, would you want Bill Belichick to take him? And second, what happened to Carlton and Orwell? I kind of miss his nonsense.
Yeah, we all do. Right. This would have been a perfect time for Carlton, right? No, he's cheating again.
Right. Of course, they're up to their old tricks.
What would be more exciting for him? The fact that they're in another scandal, or the fact that Brady is like, possibly playing his last games as a Patriot.
Pants off for Carlton.
I mean, he can't even decide what gets him.
Do you want to tell the people what you know?
Yeah, no, I actually emailed him a while back because he had sent us show emails. So
as you would imagine, psychotic nonstop, one after another, show emails.
And so I said to him, hey, we haven't heard from you in a while. Like, you know, everything okay? And he replied and he said, unfortunately, no, I missed the banter with you guys. Oh. And that was it. So we have theorized that obviously it's either health related or, you know, some sort of family issue, whatever, which, again, we have great compassion for him on if that's the case.
Or he's incarcerated.
Or he's in jail.
Or he's in the clink.
So, and I don't mean to make light of that either. Like, you know, who knows what's behind. But there's something going on there. And I don't know if he still listens or not, but Carlton, we'd love to have you call in.
Sean Law finally caught up with
him. He's a great sports radio villain.
I'm telling you.
Great villain.
I can't tell how many people ask about him.
All the time.
But what a perfect time for him. He's Chewy would be.
And quickly on Tua, if he drops to like the second or third round, fine. He has been an injury liability ever since he joined Alabama. And this hip injury, like that's a bad one.
No, yeah. Thanks.
I would agree. If I could get him in the middle rounds, yeah. Now, I've seen some projections that have him still going in the top five.
Right, to like Miami, which is insane.
So are you saying no just
not if they sign another quarterback?
Okay. Paulie, is it just because of the hip?
I'm back.
If he were fully
I don't love him as a player.
Me neither.
Because I'm lefty and I tried to play quarterback in high school and I have an unbelievable bias against lefties. I don't think that his arm is all that strong. I think he has without question the best talent around him, and I'm not sure I see the physical gifts that other people talk about. You know, the Burrow kid, Herbert at Oregon. I think some of these guys throw the ball, I think, better than he does. I don't know. Maybe he's athletic enough, although I would worry about the hip in that regard, too. I don't see it. Do you guys see it when you watch him?
No, I don't. I've never seen him.
He might have the four best receivers in all of college football.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, their weapons are just absolutely ridiculous.
Look, when he first played, you know, and that's what now, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, however many years ago when he replaced Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this kid's better than the first guy they have in there. He should be playing. But then as I've watched him over the years, he's good in college.
He's very good. I'm not saying he's a stiff. I just don't see number one overall.
No, I don't either. I've never seen that.
I've got a bias against lefty quarterbacks, too. He's a little too wee, and he's always hurt. Always.
I love lefty guys. As a lefty, Paul, don't you root for those guys? Didn't you grow up rooting for Jim Zorn?
Jim Zorn was the only guy I liked.
I loved him. I'm a lefty, too, so I love those left-handed quarterbacks. I love Steve Young and Zorn.
I talk to Stacey about Jim Zorn all the time.
I loved him.
From Seattle.
I rooted for those guys and white receivers. I love the Seahawks between Zorn and Steve Largent. Like, those are my guys.
I mean, I generally like the prototype guys. Like, you know, and again, I'm not telling you that they all have to be that way. He sort of feels to me a little bit kind of half and half. Like, I don't know that he's as much a runner as some other guys.
No.
And I don't know that he's as much a pure thrower as some other guys. Like, I feel like he's kind of caught in the middle, which immediately steers me away from him.
I love that. I think that says it perfectly. I don't think he does either one of those two things well enough to be considered, you know, the prize.
You
know, it was Tank for Tua, right?
I have a good eye when it comes to quarterbacks, Paul.
It was Tank for Tua. That was the Miami mantra, right? And I just never thought of him as being a guy worthy of, like, you know, suck for luck.
I like the LSU kid, though.
Yeah, wow. He's really good.
Okay, really good. So if you had to guess, Paul, what's their plan? If Brady retires or moves on, and this is it for Brady, how do you guess they approach it next year?
I have sort of been under the mindset of finding, you know, a stopgap veteran, you know, for a year, and then develop the young guy. Now, if they like Stidham enough to just say, let's go with Stidham.
When you say stopgap for a year, what do you mean?
You know, look at the last several years. There's been like a Nick Foles will change teams. Andy Dalton probably will be available next week. Next year. I know everybody watched last week and said, what are you talking about? Who wants that guy? I think Bill could win with a guy like that. Now, the price would have to be right, because if you're going to pay $17 million a year for a quarterback,
thank you,
you're better off just going with Stidham, because I don't really think you get that much more. It defeats the purpose.
It defeats the purpose. The whole point here is to reset with a guy that you can develop and pay other players and build a team, not just
But if you could get Teddy Bridgewater for $5 million.
Okay, so five is fine.
Okay. But now, I don't think Teddy Bridgewater's done with those kinds of contracts. So I just mean, you know, you can get a guy $5-6 million, I think Bill might be interested in that. Otherwise, I think they'll probably just go with Stidham or draft someone else.
That's what I would want. I'd want them to go with Stidham.
Yeah, I know you still think they would have been 11-3 with Stidham playing, right?
I do. Well, no, but not 11-3, maybe 10-4. I mean, I don't know what game Brady won.
Yeah, you just can't quantify how the defense played. And you can't quantify how many turnovers they would have had if Brady wasn't playing.
To me, that's the
because as bad as Brady, quote unquote, as bad as Brady plays, he still never turns the ball over.
He never makes mistakes. Well, rarely.
He's thrown two interceptions in the end zone, hasn't he?
Okay, how many?
Okay, two. How many picks you think Stidham would have thrown this year? I mean, he basically, you know, that those preseason games that you guys are still going gaga, he was throwing three or four up for grabs every game.
Yeah, I think he would have thrown a few early, and they would have beat it out of him.
Yeah, and what if they lost like three of those games?
I don't think they would have lost. I'm just telling you. I think it would have been the difference of one or two games.
They wouldn't have lost any with that schedule.
Yeah, right. They were still going to win most of those games.
I think they could have lost the Cleveland game, for an example. I think they could have lost the Dallas game. They could have lost the Philadelphia game.
Okay, those are later.
The Buffalo game. I mean, I think they could have lost a lot of games if they didn't have, you know, a mistake-free quarterback playing.
Well, we're going to find out. I mean, and the whole analysis is Bill beating the mistakes out of the guy. It's not just, you know, this ain't Jared Stidham playing for Tom, Dick, or Harry. It's for Bill. And I remember what Castle looked like when he first started and what he looked like at the end. There was 11 wins on that team, and I know the team's not the same.
Right, so that was a 5-game difference.
Yeah, do you think they were going 16-0 again the next year? This gets misplayed too. Like, everyone assumes they would have been 16-0 again.
No,
the next
I don't
year.
Think they. I think the chances of them going 16-0 again, no.
Yeah, they so weren't going to do that. A 14 win team, something like that. So it's a difference of 3 games.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm saying it's 1 or 2.
Well, you think Hoyer would have done it too?
I do.
Hoyer lost that home to Miami. Like, I'm not bitter about that. I may or may not have been knocked out of a pool because of that.
As a Colts quarterback.
Which, by the way, the gambling talk, by the way, Agate Alley talk when I was driving in.
Now, that was gambling.
Now, that's good stuff right there. And the greatest line ever uttered on this show, and that's saying something, is Tony Mazz. Remember when you had a bookie when you were little? That was awesome.
When you were little.
You know what I mean. Those were good days right there.
All right. Shall we give away some Patriots tickets, Murray?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I said 4:30. We're about a minute before there, but, well, you know, we won't open up the phones until 4:30 to make it completely legal. But just, so give me the, do you play something here?
No, we've given the 3 clues, unless you want to hear them again.
Okay, no. The whole point is to, you had to have fallen along, and you have to know what we've been doing.
Okay, who are Buffalo Bills' favorite Buffalo Bills? There were 3 of them, right? We can tell them that, Murray.
Yep. Exactly. So Buffalo Bill, the serial killer from Silence of the Lambs, had 3 favorite Buffalo Bills.
Yep. Turns out also a fan of the Buffalo Bills.
Right. Yeah, right. So he's got 3 favorites. They're all from that 90s vintage era team. That's correct. One clue I'll give you. So you have to recite the 3 Buffalo Bills to win the tickets.
In fact, just as a total aside, didn't we interview one of them at the Super Bowl?
There's another clue for you. This Buffalo Bill actually came to our desk.
This is good.
At the Super Bowl.
It's disgusting.
Where there were pens lying around on the desk that everyone had been fingering and using and schmutzing. This guy sat down with his coffee, picked up one of these pens, and steered his half and half into his coffee with a pen that was lying on the desk that had been fondled and fingered by every freaking Tom, Dick, and Harry on Radio Row all day long.
It was a Zoe move.
Yeah.
Total Zoe move.
So that's one of the 3. Here we go. Caller number 1 to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. I'm already laughing because every time we've done this, the first caller's gotten it right, hasn't it?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
I think. Maybe there was one that didn't. But for the most part, people have been on this. So caller 1 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985, will score a pair of tickets to see the Pats take on Buffalo this Saturday, courtesy of Duncan. This Patriots season, the pregame starts at Dunkin' for DD Perks members because on game day, Dunkin' is offering Patriots fans double points on any size coffee. So don't just celebrate your team's success from the sidelines. This excludes cold brew, nitro, and frozen coffee. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Murray, do the voice again of Buffalo Bill. I want to see if I can emulate it.
Well, is she a great big fat person?
Buffalo Bills' favorite Buffalo Bills.
Oh, that's horrible.
No, I give you an A for effort and an F for execution.
No, what does that sound like?
Who is she, a fat person?
Like Yoda.
Yoda.
Southern Yoda.
Skin her, I will. Fat person she was. Yes.
Buffalo Bills, who were his favorites?
Okay. Jesus. Who do you want first, Scott in North Andover? Is that it? Scott in North Andover. Who are the three favorite Buffalo Bills?
Tasker, Thomas, and Smith.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, that works for me. Yeah.
Another winner. Take him so I don't hang up on him.
Put him on hold. Don't worry.
There he is. Scott in Andover won.
And Tasker. Tasker's the one who stirred the coffee with the pen. Tasker.
Filthy.
That's why he's a special teamer.
I tell you, wipe that thing down.
These guys were always a little weird, the special teams guys.
He just comes in, picks it up, and sticks it in his coffee. That was weird.
God knows where Zoe put that pen earlier.
Probably used it as an enema.
Okay, here comes Murray's update. We'll get back to your normal phone calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
We have a couple of these calls still on the board, so I don't want to leave them hanging. We did a little sports betting conversation earlier. We had the president from MGM Springfield in, Mike Mathis, in earlier. And just talk about legalized sports gambling and how it's on the docket at the Massachusetts legislature. We're all waiting for it. MGM Springfield has a room already dedicated, ready to roll with a sports book. Encore, I'm sure, does as well. We're all waiting to get it fired up on our mobile apps. You know, there was thoughts that it would be ready to go by the Super Bowl this year, certainly by the summer this year, 2020. And how it's just not moving through the legislature. So I think Mathis was in here to try and help move it along, et cetera, et cetera. And we were just talking about how those casinos are doing, Paul, and not as well as people had thought. And I find that interesting because I had previously thought there would be some insatiable appetite for gambling, that you just couldn't build enough casinos and that people would just bang them out and it just, you know, be gangbusters. And it hasn't been. And we were curious why, and we were just sort of talking about that before. And Maz arrived on the fact that millennials are soft and don't know how to gamble. And that was a great take.
True.
It was one of the funniest things. I'm sitting in my car by myself and listening to you guys talk about it. And there was a guy next to me. I just started laughing. And a guy next to me is looking at me like, what is this? What is wrong with you?
Because Maz said what?
Oh, that was the famous line. You remember when we were all little and everybody had a bookie? That was awesome.
It's true. Like, I was a 12-year-old. I could play a football card, for crying out loud. I'm not joking. Like, I was sort of raised on it. Like, that's what you did. Yeah, you had a little bit of edge, and I told you. So I have a...
Tony, by the time I was 12, I was selling them.
Okay. So, I have an acquaintance who's in the sports betting world. Street Edition. And,
Street Edition.
He texted me because I said the millennials now. First of all, just quickly, we had a guy call in who was a millennial. Says, no, you know, why would I gamble? I have to drive 50 miles. You know, I got to go here to go place the bet. And I'm like, no, you don't. That's the whole point. You walk out on your street corner and you find, hey, where's that bum I saw last night? I want to place a bet.
And then the guy said, no. And then when I get online, and this is the problem. Everyone's on their freaking computer, on their phone. There's no neighborhood. There's no community. There's no one thinks to go to their bookie.
That guy wants to bet legally. Like, what's the point of that? It's an illegal activity. This is my point.
Yeah,
like,
don't worry about your legs getting broken.
Yeah, you're making it harder on yourself. So we all have an acquaintance. I think that we know who's sort of connected to the world. And he texted me during all this and he said,
is a bookie is what Maz is trying to say.
So I'm going to, all he texted was this. Millennials suck, period. They are cheap and ask a million questions, period. And they think it's okay to pay late, period. End of text. Perfect. Exactly. That's exactly it. They suck. They ask too many questions and worried about all the ramifications. And like, just do it and stop asking questions. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have the balls to try it. They're all pampered. It's all too pure and perfect. If it's not orchestrated and set up for them, they can't do it.
Right. That's exactly right. It's like your mommy's got to set up a play date. You just can't go play in the neighborhood. It's akin to that. It's the next step to that.
So the moral of the story is, next time you set up a play date, make sure it's with a bookie.
The moral of the story is we blame the millennials. So anyway, Connor in Milton wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Connor.
Hey guys, yeah, no, I don't get the whole point of that we don't have bookies, millennials by we. That's the only person I've ever gone through a book. I don't know who's driving 25 minutes to go wait in a 50-minute line to go throw in a bet when I can wake up at 12:55, pop open my laptop, and bet on anything that I want, and then close my laptop and go back to bed if I wanted to.
Okay,
I'm sorry, you guys.
No, that's fine. That's betting online. That's why you're not going to the casino, because you're too busy dinking around on your computer.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, even that doesn't even really count. For crying out loud, those online operations, some of them are shady to begin with. Like, you know, no, go actually deal with a human being and say, I'm putting down 50.
None of those guys are shady, though.
Yeah, but at least you know, some
of those guys, it's real cash.
Was exactly.
Bitcoin, like, get out of here with that fake nonsense.
I mean, that's a whole other thing, the whole Bitcoin thing. I don't want to go down that road. But the fact is that these kids today, these younger people today.
Millennials.
Yes, millennials. Like, it all has to be nice and clean and organized and proper. Otherwise, you're not going to do it.
They're ruining everything, including gambling.
God, people have no edge at all.
Brian in Indiana. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. So I live in Indiana. They just made sports betting legal here in the summertime. And I use DraftKings for my betting. And it's amazing. You can do prop bets. So it's really got me sucked into, like, a Monday night game. I'll put $20 on Michael Thomas to score. You can win 120.
Yeah, no, oh, so. Great. And look, and we're DraftKings is a big supporter of the station. I think it's a good, you know, I'm not ragging on DraftKings, but it's just like, great, let's have less human interaction. But either way, what I do find fascinating about the app, you know, I'm betting on, is the geofencing.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
Jesus, that's amazing. So, like, you can fire up the app in Rhode Island and place the bet in Rhode Island, but if you drive over to North Attleboro, or I guess that would be Attleboro, whatever there's on the, you drive over the border, the line, all of a sudden the app doesn't work.
Yes.
Like, that's cool as crap.
Can't place the bet as soon as you cross the state line.
How do they do that?
Incredible, right?
How do it know?
Scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
How do it know?
Yeah. Because one of these days, you're not going to pay your bet, and you're going to be driving along and get hit by a missile.
Zapped. Exactly. Your dog collar. Long commercial-free segment is next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, a couple more calls and thoughts for Paul E. Paul Perillo. Jim and Beverly will help us. Go ahead, Jim. What's your thought on Brady?
Hey, Mike. What do you say, Paul? Hey, so Buffalo's got a really good pass rush. So let's say this. They get to Brady. He goes down. He's got to come out. Stid the kid comes in. Plays great. Makes no mistakes. Wins the game. Throws three TDs. Who plays next week?
Okay. So, Paul.
Brady's healthy. Brady.
Thank you. So just can you talk to Maz about this?
I did. We had it out off the air. But I just don't see any.
Can we do it on there? Because Maz keeps sniffing around this.
I don't see any way there's a change made this year unless it's health related.
Okay, so but this is sort of what I'm asking is, again, I'm not telling you I would make the change because I wouldn't. He's Tom Brady, for crying out loud. That means something to me. But I think Belichick is cold when it comes to this stuff. And if Bill looked at that Cincinnati game and he said, boy, there were 7-8 throws there that weren't even close. I mean, Tom was way off on those. And the elbow's getting worse. Okay, now again, Karen Garrigan today says Tom's elbow's better. Fine. But if Bill believes that the elbow's getting in the way, would he make a change?
No. Yeah, I can't imagine this late in the season. Now, if this was something he was dealing with, it was like week four, and he might be looking at long-term and saying, well, it's only going to get worse. If I can get the kid in there now, I can get the bad games out of the way, and, you know, by the time we get down the stretch, if Tom's not healthy, at least this guy will be ready. Right? That yeah. makes sense.
Yeah, maybe.
Now, yeah, but I'm saying now you're talking about putting a guy... Tom Brady with elbow problems causing him to throw the ball all over the place is a better option than a rookie fourth-round pick.
I mean, I don't know. I wonder. Belichick, that comment at the press conference yesterday, all of a sudden he's pumping up the backup. He's getting a lot of reps. Tom can't make the practices. Like,
I don't think that...
And you might be right.
I think that was long-term groundling, meaning... When we move on from him this yes. offseason, you know, there's a reason, folks. He's breaking down. And that, if there's any ulterior motive, that's the ulterior motive. Groundling. And I think there's been groundling going on here. I meant to mention this a little bit ago. When there was a Wall Street Journal story like 2 or 3 weeks ago about is Brady costing the Patriots? Something like this, like blaming Brady for his poor play. Oh, Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal.
Oh, you mean you don't go to them for sports?
And I think Wall Street...
Felgie does, evidently.
I think Wall Street Journal stories are ownership plants.
Sure.
The Wall Street Journal wrote a story about Robert Kraft's brilliant legal strategy in Florida out of nowhere a couple months ago. Like, I'm like, please, with this. And so, like, I thought that story was like, why is Wall Street Journal doing this? So I like, and so my, you know, my conspiracy theories are that it's just sort of groundling. That when we move on from the greatest player in the history of this league, there's a reason. And it's all sort of subtle, and that's what they're doing.
So Brady says, don't look at me. They wouldn't commit to me. The organization wouldn't. Kraft says, don't look at me. It's Bill's call. And Bill says, well, don't look at me. He's 42, and he's breaking down. Right?
Yeah.
Everybody's got their
exactly.
little out.
Exactly. Washing their hands.
Their little out.
Everyone's washing their hands.
Don't you hate that?
Here's Steve in the car. Hi, Steve.
Hey, I'm missing this whole thing about Brady. I mean, there's a lot going on there. And as far as him breaking down, I see it. I mean, he doesn't have the touch. And his throws are coming up short. And even on the long throws and the short throws, and he's releasing the ball late. That's why it's going low. But besides that, the play calling, the pass patterns, everything is just, like, not Patriot typical.
Well, that's for sure. I think the bigger issue is the cohesion between Brady and his receivers, that relationship, the timing between them, the trust between them. I think it's all for cocked.
The timing's off, and he doesn't have much experience with enough of the guys. It's Edelman. He's just getting used to Sanu. He's just getting used to Harry. He's just getting used to Myers. There's a lot of stuff going on. I don't see a lot of short throws. I don't really see the physical problems. I think he was inaccurate at times against Cincinnati. I agree with both of you guys on the Bengals game specifically, but I don't think that's been a huge problem all year.
No, and I think it's, you know, sometimes the receiver isn't in the right place. Sometimes he misses the throw. Sometimes they're on the different page. He wants him to zig and the guy zags. Like, I feel like that's been the biggest problem with the passing game. But let me just backing it up to his first point. Do you think he's breaking down physically, Brady?
No, I don't. I mean, I think he has some physical problems just like everybody else, and like he always deals with every year. I think it was, you know, there was a knee problem late last year, right? The Tennessee game, you know, the knee brace was causing him some issues. We've seen this happen before with Brady. And I mean, he's 42. Can he do everything physically exactly the way he did 10 years ago? I'm sure he can't. But I don't watch him throw the ball and say, oh, yeah, it's coming. Mentally, you know, moving around the pocket, maybe bailing on some plays, that kind of stuff. I see that. And I think that's part of being 42 and just saying, I don't want to stand in here and take this hit again. I don't know if that guy's going to be where I need him to be when I take this hit. I don't know if that's worth it for me. I see that kind of wear and tear, mental.
Okay, give me 2 minutes on the Bills here before we get out of here. Give me a key matchup or a key part of the game.
Well, a couple of things. Jonathan Jones has been out of practice. I think he was hurt late in the game with a groin problem. He's been pretty good in the slot all year. Cole Beasley is one of their better receivers. He's their second receiver behind John Brown. So I think Jonathan Jones is a sneaky, important guy. I think they also like to use him a little bit, you know, in spying on quarterbacks. And, you know, he was the one that made that hit that knocked Allen out of the game the last time. If he can't go, I think that's a significant loss. And I don't think it's a game breaker or anything. They'll have to do some adjusting. I want to see Gilmore continue this stuff with John Brown. And on the other side, Sean McDermott's defense has gotten the better of Brady pretty much every time they faced him. Does that continue? You know, can they run the ball? Because I think both of these teams have really good defenses that you can run on occasionally, even though the numbers are pretty good for both of them. They're both top 10 run defenses, but I think you can run on both of these teams. So I'll be interested to see. It, to me, it all comes down to turnovers.
I totally agree. And I had the same impression of that Buffalo-Pittsburgh game. It's like Buffalo's supposed to have made this move. They're now ready for prime time. They're ready to challenge. They go into Pittsburgh, which is a nice story, but let's face it. Duck dodges and come on. All Buffalo has to do in that game is not turn it over, and they win going away. And they can't take care of the ball. The Singletary kid keeps putting the ball on the ground. There's a pick. It's like, and Allen came through with some throws, so I'm not saying it's like
the touchdown throw was terrific.
It was nice.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't a zero for Buffalo, but it's that's a way of backing up and asking the question.
Are they ready for this?
Is Buffalo ready for this? Exactly. Is Buffalo ready for this? And I looked at that Pittsburgh game and I said, no, they're not.
Yeah,
they're
I don't think they are either. And, you know, listen, I've been doubting both of those teams all year, Pittsburgh and Buffalo, and they've been proving me wrong. But, you know, when the dust clears, I think the Patriots will have another, and by the way, the 11th division title
copy
in a
was
row.
Wrong.
You guys are always shortchanging us. It's unbelievable. We never get the respect.
So, you know, this is a little bit of a manipulation, okay? But just,
yeah, it's just, you know,
do you know the last time?
We're not above that.
Do you know the last time the Patriots lost a division game at home in the regular season was to with Brady a quarterback?
So tell us.
Do you have any guesses, Paul?
No, I mean, I do know, so I don't want to ruin
you
it.
You saw it in the email.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Paul.
Go on.
2006.
Miami?
2006, the Jets. Chad Pennington beat him here. Oh.
The last game on natural grass in Foxborough.
Oh, yeah.
13.
It's like rushing the passer on a beach.
Exactly. 13
quote Richard
years
Seymour.
Ago.
Well, they got, that was a great game where they all said we got outcoached, and what they were saying is that they had our signals. That was a game where the Jets had your signals and your plays in that game. There's a great little backstory to that. But anyway, go ahead.
I mean, unbelievable. They don't lose.
I didn't
lose.
Know that, Jim.
Yeah. They don't lose these games is the point. They don't lose these games. And I know we started to touch on this yesterday, but the swings in this game for the Patriots, I can't remember them playing a game this late in the season, particularly at home, where the swings for them were as big as they are in this one.
Yeah.
I mean,
we were talking about that, too. I can't remember the last time the division was in play this deep into the season.
Maz, I'm sorry if I missed how you qualified. You said the last time they lost at home in the division
with Brady at quarterback.
Well, the last week of whatever against Buffalo.
Right, so that game didn't count for the Patriots.
Garoppolo played over half,
correct.
Right?
Right, so I don't count that as a Brady a quarterback game.
Got it.
And then they lost a couple in 08 with Matt Castle.
Yep.
Right?
They lost the Brissett game here a couple years ago.
Exactly. So to find a game that Brady played, the whole game, that they lost to a division opponent at home in the regular season, 2006. 2006. Murray, what were you doing 13 years ago? Other than avoiding arrest.
Jeez, 06. I think that was a partially employed year for the kid over here. Yeah.
Partially employed.
Seriously.
But is this a long way of you saying, Maz, that if they actually lose this on Saturday, then you'll admit that they're done?
Oh, yeah, they're done. I'll raise my hand on that.
So this is, I mean, I don't know.
They're done if they lose on Saturday. Done.
Thank you.
To
done.
Me, the
They'll
the
only
swing.
Be done if Kansas City wins.
Okay, so there's that too.
With these qualifiers.
Well, no, this is what I mean.
No, if it's status quo and if they lose and then they beat Miami, they're still with the division.
Yeah, but
okay,
you
but
know.
If Kansas City wins, now they're the number 3 seed and I'll say they're done.
Right. If they have to go through wild card weekend, they're done. If they still have a bye, anything can
happen. If they get a bye, I'm not dismissing their chances to win one home
Same.
Game to get into the AFC Championship.
Same.
So this is what I mean by the swings. They could end up, we could literally be heading towards sort of the final games of Tom Brady's career and acknowledging that they just don't have it. Or I think there is a lot for them to gain on Sunday if things break a certain way, which I'd be happy to share with you in the next hour.
We'll share it with you, your calls. There's no commercial, just an update. Pablo, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. And that's that. Just a Murray's update. And then we're back with Maz's hot take.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.